Minstrel. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted Church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 332. It is November 24. This podcast is being prepared for use on November 25, 2015. Part two today, and the final part of Spurgeon's message about receiving spiritual help. This part is directed largely to those of you who may not know the Lord. If you do not know the Lord, listen up very carefully. This is for you. Spurgeon says, "My second word," this is halfway through his message, "is to those who have not yet found the Lord. We should use every means to obtain the touch of the divine hand. Now, there are some here present who do not yet know whether they are believers in Christ or not. And I'm sure I cannot tell them. I hope they are believers, for they are sincerely desirous of eternal salvation, but sometimes I am afraid they are not, for they do not appear to understand the meaning of the finished work of Christ. What are those who are earnestly seeking the Lord to do? There is but one answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith is the one and only course commanded. But someone replies, alas, I cannot get at that. But my friend, you must get at it, or perish. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Still, to help you, let me urge you to do this which lies near at hand. If you cannot feel that the Spirit of God will bless you as you are, call for some minstrel who may aid you in your search after the blessing. If there be any subordinate means which may be helpful, use it with a view to the higher and better thing. And I would first say, if you feel that you have not the faith which you ought to have, use what faith you have. It is wonderful what an immense amount of possibility lies in a mustard seed of faith. It's a very small, tiny thing, but sow it, and it will grow. You have not enough faith to believe that Christ will save you, but you have enough to feel sure that Christ can save you, not will, but can. Well, that is something. Hold on to it and follow it out to its fair conclusions. If a man has not enough money to pay for a week's provisions, let him not starve, but let him spend what he has, hoping that more will come. Have you a small dust of faith? Use that. It will multiply. If you want to feel the hand of the Lord, I would next say, go and hear a sound, earnest, lively preacher. I'm advising you to do as I acted myself. I was muddled. I could not exercise faith. And so I resolved to obey that other precept, hear, and your soul shall live. If you long for faith, listen to the preacher who preaches the gospel most simply and most forcibly. Perhaps you say, I've been listening to a very clever minister, a very intellectual minister, and his word has never been blessed to my soul. Then shift your place and say, bring me a minstrel, for then it may be that the hand of the Lord may be upon you. It is better to go 100 miles to hear a faithful minister than to listen to a man from whom you get no good because he happens to preach near you. Men go many miles to a skillful physician or a healing fountain. When we are in earnest to find Christ, we shall have the sense to go where he is most honored and most spoken of. But suppose I have attended such a ministry and I have found no good. What shall I do? Why, the scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Still, if you cannot get at it for the moment, attend earnest meetings where souls have been converted and many have been brought to Jesus' feet. Trust not to preachers or meetings, but still, Go where the rain is falling, and there may be a drop for you. If a ministry is blessing others, resort to it, praying, O Lord, bless me. Our immediate need is the hand of the Lord, and we may be made ready to receive it by hearing the gospel. Therefore, let us diligently incline our ear to the heavenly word. Let me also advise you to read gracious books. Ask Christian people what writings were blessed to their conversion, and carefully study the same. There is no book for saving souls like the Bible. Say, bring me a minstrel and read the scriptures again and again. The Lord Jesus feedeth among the lilies. Get among the beds of lilies and you'll find him there. Oh, how many have found Christ when they've been searching the scriptures to see whether those things were so. I would also strongly recommend you to get a good deal alone. You poor souls who cannot find Christ and do not seem to understand what it is to believe in him should think much and meditate much upon Jesus and his cross. David said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet into thy testimonies. If you want a minstrel, think of your sin against your God, till it breaks your heart. Then think of Christ, his nature, his work, his love, his deeds of mercy. Think of the Holy Spirit and his power to renew, regenerate, comfort, sanctify. Think over those precious truths of the Word of God, which are set there on purpose to be beacons to light souls to Christ. And while you are thinking of these, it shall be to you as when the minstrel played and the hand of the Lord came upon his prophet. Get much alone. But still, recollect there is no hope for you if you trust in being alone, or trust in reading the scriptures, or trust in hearing, or trust in anything but Christ. What you want is the hand of Jesus laid upon you. One touch from him, and you will be made whole. If you can but touch the hem of his garment, virtue shall come out of him to you. I'm merely mentioning these things because sometimes they lead up to the one thing. And when a man is in earnest to obtain the one thing needful, he'll be willing to attend to anything by which he'll be likely to attain it, and to attend to any secondary means which God has blessed in the case of others. He'll be willing to be taught by a child, if peradventure God would bless him in that manner. He will say, bring me a minstrel, bring me a good book, bring me a godly minister, bring me a Christian man accustomed to speak to troubled hearts. Bring me an aged Christian whose testimony shall confirm my spirit and be the means of working faith in me. For I must get to God. I must get salvation. Tell me where Christ is to be obtained, and I will find him if I ransack the globe to discover him. I do not believe any person who has a desire to find Christ will seek in vain. I'm certain that when people hunger and thirst after Christ, they shall be filled. And when they say, we will do anything by which we may be led to Jesus, they're not far from the kingdom of heaven, and the Holy Spirit is at work in them. Thirdly, we should more abundantly use holy minstrelsy. Saints and sinners, too, would find it greatly to their benefit if they just said, bring me a minstrel. This is the world's cry whenever it is merry and filled with wine. The art of music has been prostituted to the service of Satan. Charles Wesley well said, listed into the cause of sin, why should a good be evil? Music, alas, too long has been pressed to obey the devil. Drunken or lewd or light, the lay flowed to the soul's undoing, widened and strewed with flowers the way down to eternal ruin. It is for us to use singing in the service of God and to make a conquest of it for our Redeemer. Worldlings want the minstrel to excite them. We want him to calm our hearts and to still our spirits. That's his use to us, and we shall do well to employ the harper to that end. Let us give instances. I will suppose that this morning you were thinking about coming up to the assembly of God's people, and you felt hardly up to the mark. It would have been wise to do as I did this morning. I read at family prayer the 84th Psalm. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found her a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now what a sweet piece of Sabbath minstrelsy it is. How often have we been quieted and prepared for sanctuary worship by Psalm 122. How did my heart rejoice to hear my friends devoutly say, In Zion, let us all appear and keep thy holy day. When the house is full of trouble and your heart is bowed down, is it not well to say, Bring me a minstrel, and let him sing to me the 27th psalm, The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You need not confine the harper to that one strain, for David has written many psalms for burdened hearts. It is wonderful what provision God has made of sacred minstrels to play us up out of the depths into the heights, if we would make a right use of them. I'll suppose you are in a state of alarm. It may be there is a thunderstorm, or possibly a disease is stalking through the land. Did you ever sing in such times that 46th psalm? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Such music is like the breath of heaven. How comforting are the words of the 91st Psalm when diseases are abroad, or when the thunder rolls through the sky. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I remember being in a family one night when I was but a lad. When everybody in the house, strong men though some of them were, trembled and were afraid. A child was upstairs and must be brought down, but no one dared to pass by the window on the staircase. Well do I remember fetching down the child, awed but not alarmed, and then I sat down and read aloud the 91st Psalm and saw how it quieted both men and women. Ah, my brethren, David, as a musician, is one of a thousand. We need no other minstrel. The word of God hushes the tempest of the soul and refreshes the heart with a celestial dew. Bring me a minstrel, but let him sing us one of the songs of Zion. Do you ever get depressed in spirit, beloved friends? I fear you do. And are you ever troubled because you seem to have more affliction than anybody else? Have you watched the wicked and seen them prosperously sailing while you have been tossed to and fro on a raging sea of troubles? If you want to get peace to your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit, then say, bring me a minstrel. And let him sing that 37th psalm, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Or if you would have a change from the 37th, turn the figures around and let him sing the 73rd. And the notes will run thus, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You will not be long before you will rise to the note, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Well, happily, you are not always depressed. There are times of great joy with you, and then you long to have communion with God. If you wish to have fellowship with Jesus, you'll find it helpful to say, bring me a minstrel. And when he asks, what shall I sing? Say to him, sing the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Then shall you find utterance for your heart in such canticles as these. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Possibly your tongue will take up notes like these. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Or, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of division. When we come to die, we will breathe our last breath to music. Then will we say, bring me a harper. And like Jacob and Moses, we will sing ere we depart. Our song is ready. It's the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is the kind of minstrel for me. And say you not so, my brethren? When you're in trouble or distress, will you not remember your songs in the night? If such be the strain, I am of the same mind as Martin Luther, whose words I have copied out to read to you. His language is always strong. Luther speaks thunderbolts. He says, one of the finest and noblest gifts of God is music. Now, this is very hateful to the devil, and with it we may drive off temptations and evil thoughts. After theology, I give the next place and highest honors to music. It has often aroused and moved me so that I have won a desire to preach. We ought not to ordain young men to the office of preacher if they have not trained themselves and practiced singing in the schools. Well, that's pretty strong. I fear many would not have been preachers if they must first have been singers. Still, there is a power about song, and to sing the praises of God in psalms such as those I have read to you is most consoling. Suppose you have done with the minstrelsy which I have now mentioned. There's next the music of gospel doctrine. I confess to you that when depressed in spirit, I love a bit of thorough Calvinistic doctrine. I turn to Coles on divine sovereignty and relish his plain speaking upon sovereign grace. The doctrine of election is noble music. Predestination is a glorious hallelujah. Grace abounding, love victorious, truth unchanging, faithfulness invincible. These are melodies such as my ear delights in. The truth of God is fit music for angels. The harps of the redeemed never resound with more noble music than the doctrines of grace. Every truth has its melody. Every doctrine is a psalm unto God. When my heart is faint, Bring me a minstrel, and let him sing of free grace and dying love. If these do not charm you, fetch a minstrel from experience. Think how God has dealt with you in times of sorrow and darkness long gone by. And then you will sing, His mercy endureth forever. That 103rd psalm might last a man from now till he entered heaven. He need not change the strain. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He may keep on chanting it until his song melts into the hymns of the angels, and he adds another voice to the chorus of the redeemed above. If you want music, there's yet a sweeter tone. Go fetch a minstrel from Calvary. Commend me for sweetness to the music of the cross. At Calvary, I hear one piece of music set to the minor key, which has bred more joy beneath the skies than all else. Listen to it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, deserted is the comfort of deserted souls. Jesus crying, why hast thou forsaken me? Is the joy of a spirit that has lost the light of God's countenance. That grave and solemn note can lift despair into delight. But if you want another hymn of the cross to be sung with the accompaniment of the high-sounding cymbals or with trumpet and sound of cornet, let me commend you to this other song of the cross. It is finished. All music lies there. Condensed into those three words, you have the harmonies of eternity, the melodies of the infinite. Angels themselves, when on their loftiest key, did never sing a canticle so sweet. Consummatum est is the consummation of song. It is finished. Sin is blotted out. Reconciliation is complete. Everlasting righteousness is brought in. Believing souls are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Till the day break and the shadows flee away, bring me a minstrel and let us sing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May God be with all of you over the next few days. Remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Just click on the orange button and then click on iTunes. If you're interested in sermons like this for yourself, I encourage you to Google the Puritan hard drive. And when you get it, try to purchase one for yourself. You will have so much in the way of minstrels for the rest of your life. It will be your blessing. Of course, the Word of God itself is sufficient, but all the things on the PhD are definitely based on that Word. God bless you today. Don't forget 2 Kings 3:15. Bring me a minstrel. I'll be back on Sunday. We will be talking about North Korea. And Monday, probably a little bit more of Spurgeon or some other brother from our past. And then very soon, a discussion that looks at the 5 points of Arminianism. Whoops, did I mean to say that? Yeah, I did. Compared and contrasted to the 5 points of Calvinism. And we love people on both sides, don't we? Huh? Oh, I hope so. Because there'll be people on both sides in that city that we're all going to. But I want to just deal with this for a little while. It was a listener that suggested it, and I believe it's a great suggestion that we look at this thing that has divided Christian from Christian down through the years, but it's also got some very wonderful rays of light that we need to look upon. God bless you today. I've got to go. Bring us a minstrel.